Hi, thanks for joining us for an episode of the Geek Dad Podcast. I'm Preston Burt. With me is
Will James
and Kishore Hari.
And we're just three of the writers for Geek Dad. And we are actually coming to you not live, but live right now from Dragon Con in Atlanta, Georgia, over Labor Day weekend. And so I thought it'd be neat because we have three different perspectives from each of us about our experience at Dragon Con. I've been coming to Dragon Con for going on 12 years now, but in front of me are two brand new Conners from different parts of the world. Where are you from?
I'm from San Francisco, and this isn't my first like large-scale con, but it's my first Dragon Con.
Right. And Will, where are you?
I'm from Seattle, and I'm coming off of PAX last weekend, which also is big, but not anywhere near like this.
Yeah, it's a different beast, right? So the different perspectives is I've been going for a while, and I still just, this is my fun con. I organize my own convention, but this is just the time for me and a group of my friends to come play. Kishore is a panelist. He's here, a guest. He's listed in the program and has a biography and everything. So
I had six panels. I just finished my sixth panel, and it was still Saturday of Dragon Con when we're recording this. So it was a slog to get through that many panels, but it was a total whirlwind. Most of my panels were on the science track because I'm a scientist and a science educator, and it was great. I was really surprised at how many different tracks there were. Mm. When I came to Dragon Con, I had no expectation. Like, I was kind of expecting there would be like fantasy track and like, you know, comic track and that kind of stuff. There's so many subculture tracks. It's overwhelming, to be honest.
Oh, yeah.
But the science track, I'm like, at a con with like 70,000 people, how many people are going to come to like science? How does that compete with like fantasy and, you know, anime and all these other things? They've been full. They've been really full. Like, we did one on the science of the Martian last night, and it was like they had to turn people away at the door, which was really great. As a panelist, it's been pretty smooth outside of like the basics of getting around Dragon Con, which luckily I read Preston's pieces on it before coming. Once you get over that, like, the con is actually pretty well organized.
Yeah, they've been doing it for a while, and they worked out all the kinks, and so all they have to deal with now is just the sheer number of people that are here, because it can be unyieldy. So, Will, you come at it from the perspective of media. You pulled out your Geek Dad press credentials and get to hobnob with the celebrities. So tell me a little bit about your experience.
Yeah, so I started off Thursday night doing the Fine Chief episode 2 with Aaron Douglas from Battlestar Galactica. I met him in Seattle when he did the first episode of Fine Chief. And Edward James Olmos and Jamie Bamber and Michael Trucco all showed up. And so I got to meet all of them on Thursday night and drink with them, which made the Friday morning press conference with the four of them much easier. I got to do a press conference with Felicia Day this morning and another one with Scott Adsit, which was really cool getting to meet them and talk to them.
What's it like on the press side of things? Do you feel like you get a feel for the con?
Yeah, so one of the things that the Dragon Con media relations people try to do is they don't really do a lot of media stuff like a lot of other cons, because Dragon Con is a fan con, which is cool because it's kind of nice because I get like a little bit of press stuff, but then it's like the rest of the time is just being a fan like everybody else. It doesn't get me special access to like panels or anything. I still have to stand in line if I want to go to something.
That's actually pretty cool.
Yeah, it's kind of cool. I like getting that balance of I get to be a fan and do like a couple of media things and like bounce back and forth. I have one more press conference tomorrow, but then other than that, it's just hanging out and being a fan like everybody else.
That's cool. And so you just came off of PAX. How do the cons differ? You know, like, how are they similar? How are they different?
So PAX is crazy for a con. It's really busy, it's crowded, there's lots of lines, except everyone's standing in line to play games, versus there's some meeting people, but really it's people standing in line to play like the big games. So it's a very focused fandom for the most part. There's some tabletop gaming, but really like the big stuff is I'm standing in line to play this game that's going to come out in a month that I can play at home, which isn't fun.
I think we got your feelings about PAX summed up in one sentence.
The nice thing though is at least from a media perspective, is that PAX is, they do all kinds of stuff for media. So I didn't stand in line to play any games. I got to like go and sit down and play, like, here's one of the developers for Assassin's Creed Syndicate, and sit with him and he'll tell you about the game and like have a private demo, which was really cool, because for the game companies, it's a get people interested in market our game so people will buy it, versus here is, we're doing stuff that's cool for the fans, and we just want everybody to have fun.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, there's no drinking at PAX.
Oh. it's a different beast.
Yeah, this, I had heard so many times, it's Nerdy Gras, and I'm like, oh, okay, there's some partying going on. I was not prepared. This is like, straight, like, first of all, I came in on a red eye, and I got in my, I got in a taxi over here, and like the first person I meet was like making the most obscure Aliens references ever, like real deep cuts, like real deep cuts. And so I was like, okay, I got to get my like game face on. It's time to bring like that, the true inner geekiness. And then I get here and it's a giant party, and with panels interspersed between, and it's all very celebratory, but I was not prepared for how much of a party it is. It's enjoyable once you embrace it,
mm-hmm.
as a party. As a veteran, has it always been that way?
Yeah, I mean, the people definitely come out to play. It's definitely had a very, you know, Nerdy Gras vibe the whole time. What's cool about this convention, though, is, you know, you're going to see a lot of families here, because it is a fan convention, and people love to share the love of what they enjoy with their kids, and kids have their own interests and stuff. So it's two sides. I mean, there's the convention part where you go and see panels and you take your kids, and there's a lot of even like kid-friendly stuff, building puppets or hands-on demonstrations. But once the big panels kind of end at 7 o'clock, after that, like, keep the kids away, because it gets pretty dark, and you may see things that you might want to scar them with later.
Well, I don't know if it's dark. I mean, most of the stuff I saw was really fun. Like, I got caught in a Deadpool parade earlier today. Did you guys get caught in the Deadpool parade?
Yeah.
The mercs were not gentle to me. and then I got caught in like a parade of Harlequins. I got cornered by a bunch of Harlequins. By the way, you would think, like, at a con like this that's really about cosplay, that you'd like swords, most common weapon of choice.
Mm-hmm.
Not even close. I feel like it's mallets. It's mallets the time.
Giant ones, too.
Giant mallets.
Ones that I look at and I think the people, they have to be hating their life right about now, having to lug this giant thing around for all day.
I saw a girl earlier today, and her mallet was bigger than she was. It literally was, she was maybe like 4.5 feet tall, and her mallet was just ginormous. I'm hoping it was made of like cardboard or something really light, because it was huge.
So speaking of costumes, did you guys get to lay eyes on the Dragon Con parade this morning?
I did. I did party last night, so I only made it for a little bit. It was really hot outside. So like, I got out to the parade and then I was like, nope, I'm going to put it on the TV, because it's filmed and broadcast on all the TVs in the hotels around here. So I did watch the parade. The parade is so great. It is basically like that sweet, you know, Midwest of the U.S. like community parade, except replace marching band with marching band of stormtroopers and marching band of, you know, Half-Life 3 characters. I thought it was great. I love the parade. Did you go?
Oh yeah, it's a yearly tradition for me.
Have you ever walked in the parade?
I did, actually. So I've only ever attended it to just watch it, but then I made a vow to myself to always try something new. And for a while, I was never going to costume. Like, I was like, oh my gosh, that's a certain level of geekdom, and I'm just not there yet. So eventually, I was there,
mm-hmm.
and I started doing a little costuming here and there. And then once I kind of broke the seal on that, the group of friends and I decided, let's try to get in the parade. So I'm the guy that comes up with the ideas for the group costumes all the time. This year, we're doing Revenge of the Nerds with the Tri-Lams. We have Letterman sweaters. It's really fun. But the five guys that I room with, we decided to do zombie village people. So I was the construction worker, and all of my other friends were the other members, and we toted a wagon with a boombox playing YMCA, and we did a really, really horrible version of the dance while being zombies walking down the parade. It was thrilling, I got to tell you, because there's 100,000 people come out for the parade. There's 60,000 DragonCon attendees, but Atlanta brings 100,000 people to watch the parade.
At least 30,000 of the 65,000 have got to be in the parade, right? So that's
it's massive. 70,000. So it was people. Fun. It was fun.
I really loved the parade, and like the costuming part, I was definitely intimidated by. And there's people that do it to the nines, where right. that it's easy to get intimidated by. But there's so many people doing it. Mm-hmm. It's so much more approachable than when I've gone to like Comic-Con, where I feel like it's more like a professional game here. Like I felt more like welcome and encouraged to just dress up, even if my thing was going to be a bit janky, which it is. And but I really loved it. Did you have that same kind of feeling?
I've seen everything from something that you would expect from a movie set to, it was funny because I just saw this a couple of hours ago. There was a guy who had made a Darth Vader costume out of paper plates. So he had like a couple of paper plates taped together for the chest piece and just like drew on it with Sharpies. And then he had like a paper plate that was the mask, and that was it. And it was totally fine. It was cool.
Yeah.
It just, he fit right in, even though it was, you know, technically as janky as you can get.
If you have a kid that's into that kind of stuff, like dressing up into costumes, while this convention's overwhelming, I saw so many kids with their parents today mm-hmm. that it was just like heaven for them. Like they didn't need to see celebrities because it was character after character after character. And they're all these mashup, super clever
right.
outfits. Yeah. Like I wish and I don't wish that I brought my 4-year-old. Like I don't wish I brought my 4-year-old because like Preston said, after 7 o'clock, this is not really a great con for kids. But during the day, like I think his mind would have exploded seeing all of the characters.
My daughter and my whole family came down for the parade, just for the parade. And my oldest daughter was just in awe the entire time, pointing out characters. And she said this is the best parade she's ever seen.
How old are your daughters?
I have a 6-year-old and a 10-year-old.
And have they come to the parade a bunch of times?
No, this is the first time. Yeah.
First time.
Yeah.
Was it, did you keep them away or was it they weren't at the age where they were interested?
I think my wife wanted to make sure my youngest was a little bit old enough to really, you know, manage the crowd well and travel on the MARTA and all that kind of stuff. But yeah, and she knows a lot more characters now. So it's you know, more important for her. But speaking of families, one of my highlights of costumes I saw, and we can go around and do highlights of what you guys have seen, but I saw a family that was cosplaying for Big Hero 6. And so someone was in a giant, sweet Big Hero 6, Baymax costume. And then the mom was one of the characters from the team. And then the two little kids were the other characters from the team.
Oh, that's awesome.
And they had to feel like movie stars because they were just against the wall and they were like, tons of people taking their pictures, and they were just grinning from ear to ear. I took a picture of that and put it on Twitter if anybody wants to see that. But yeah, families.
Was the Baymax like inflatable?
Yeah, it was inflatable. There was a little window on the side where you could see out. But yeah, because it was giant too. It was life size.
Wow.
It was pretty sweet. So highlights for costumes that you've seen?
I've actually been. So my son and I started cosplaying with him when he was one. At Emerald City Comic Con. I don't take him to anything else yet because everything else is too big and loud, but Emerald City Comic Con is like a nice size con. So like father-son cosplay and like family cosplay is really cool to me, and hopefully he'll enjoy it when he gets older and want to keep doing it. But so I've been actually like taking pictures of a bunch of like family father-son cosplay, but my favorite one I saw today was a father and son who both had Falcon, like new Avengers movie version of Falcon, and they both looked really awesome, and like the little boy was just so thrilled to be doing it and doing it with his dad.
Yeah.
And like the mom was there and she could help make the costumes, but she was just like kind of being their wrangler and taking pictures and like everything else. But that was probably my favorite one that I saw today.
I love the mashups. I saw an immortal Josephine. Immortan Josephine, I say. Like the sort of like gender bendy ones have been really fun. But the best one that I've, or just my personal favorite so far, I guess I have two. I saw like the entire lineup of 80s He-Man.
Oh, no
that way. Was like included Battle Cat. and like wow. Orko and all like everyone, like nice. Man at Arms, Sheila, all of them were there. It was incredible. But my favorite was the most like bizarre random one. It was a group of guys dressed up as like 50s like swimmer types, and they were like kind of doing the whole like fisticuffs and harumph, and they like only talked in like 50s kind of language, and like one of them had a monocle in, and they would just like they were just roaming the Marriott here in that in like deeply inside the character.
They were true cosplaying. They weren't just wearing costumes.
They weren't stopping for photos. They were acting their way through the entire thing, and they were so enjoyable, and it was such a throwback. It was super clever.
That's all. Well, so speaking of costumes, I should point out to our listeners who don't have eyes on this that I'm actually sitting across from two cosplay attempts right now. Tell us what you're wearing, Kishore.
Attempts is a good word for it. I was just on a Science of Archer panel with Lucky Yates, who plays Dr. Krieger, and I lost a bet with my podcast co-host, so I am dressed up as Krieger's virtual girlfriend, Mitsuko, for those who may not know her name.
Yeah, words can't do it justice.
Yeah, but... you know, pictures can't do it justice either.
Will.
I am Spike Spiegel from Cowboy Bebop.
Tell us your, tell the listeners your, prop story.
The cigarette one?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I, because Spike smokes a lot, I got these stage cigarettes off of Amazon, and they're really cheap, but they look very realistic, apparently, because at Emerald City Comic Con, I had about 5 people ask to borrow a cigarette to get a cigarette from me, which I didn't have any real ones, and today I got yelled at for smoking in the hotel, so... Yeah, that's
troublemaker.
I guess they look realistic.
All right, so other favorites. I know you've had to do a lot of actually hosting of panels, but have you attended anything yet that you thought was great?
I've only had a chance to attend a few panels. Like I took the advice that you laid out in some of your survival posts on Geek Dad to heart. Like I was like, I'm not going to stand in lines. I'm going to wait for panels to load in and go. So I did check out like a new DC Comics panel, which was pretty great. I've tried to go to like really obscure stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So I went to one today on archery, and it was like a guy with like a longbow talking about how he hunts with it and like the different like physics and mechanics of it. I really like the obscure stuff. I feel like if you come with an open mind and you just don't necessarily have a set agenda and just walk into a room, it's amazing.
It is. Yeah, I was just walking downstairs and came across a DoubleClix concert.
What?
I hadn't looked at the schedule, and I was just roaming to go to the Comics Artist Alley, and there they were just performing, and people were sitting on the floor watching them. It was great. So you never know what you're going to find. Will, how about you?
I would say probably of all the panels that I've gone to, the one that was the coolest for me is I went to the Carolcore meetup. So it was Kelly Sue DeConnick. And basically just talking about her ending her run on Captain Marvel. And around her and her whole run on Captain Marvel, there's been this whole Carolcore thing and that fans have really rallied around. And a bunch of the fans had put together this... She didn't know that this was going to happen. So at the end, near the end of the panel, they had put together this book that they had collected all these... basically letters from fans of what the story and the character and Kelly Sue writing it meant to them. So they made this book and they presented it to her, and then everybody that had come in Captain Marvel cosplay got up in front of the panel and stood up there. So they presented her the book, said thank you, and they all saluted, and like everybody, including me, was crying.
That's awesome.
Just so moving, and like she like cussed everybody out for making her cry, and it was very nice.
That's fantastic. Mine so far has been the Scott Adsit panel, where he came in and greeted everyone in the voice of Baymax, saying, "Welcome to Dragon Con. Remember, Purell does not kill viruses." So that was fun, and a lot of audience interaction. He got emotional talking about. They asked him, "Do you realize the significance of, you know, being part of the Disney universe?" And he says he went back and with John Lasseter, who sat him down with some other people, and said, "You know, you guys are joining the legacy of Pinocchio. You're in the same realm of characters as Woody and Buzz. and he got emotional telling about that. And it was, it's pretty cool. One of the things I like about this kind of stuff is, you know, realizing that these people you see on TV are just people, you know, and they can be emotional and have feelings and stuff. So it's pretty cool. But anybody else you're looking out for?
There's no, you know, I'm looking out for the awesome costumes and random people I encounter.
Cool.
I have a lot of like science friends that are here and like people that I'm friends with on Twitter that I'm meeting for the first time, which is awesome because we get to like hang out in real life. But really I want the serendipity. I want to just discover stuff that I couldn't have ever imagined happening.
Cool. You will?
Yeah, I'm pretty much in the same boat at this point. I mean, I am trying not to plan so much. Also, I was busy with PAX, so I didn't plan in advance, which is good. So, like, I've pretty much from here on out, the rest of the time that I'm here, I'm kind of just wandering around and looking at stuff and people, and just, I mean, the cosplay is amazing.
So wherever the wind may take you.
Yeah. Yeah,
so I think you might find the chief again. That's what I suspect is going
to
happen.
Yeah, Will's decided to be best friends with all the Battlestar Galactica cast, so... Who never...
current generation and first generation. Yeah. That's what's amazing
about
it.
I got Richard Hatch for 5 seconds.
Well, awesome, guys. Real quick, plug your podcast.
I host a weekly science podcast called Inquiring Minds from Mother Jones. You can follow us on Twitter at Inquiring Show.
And personal Twitter.
Oh, I'm at Science Quiche. Quiche as in a French egg tart. You know, sometimes grade school nicknames stick. And professionally, I run a big science festival in the San Francisco Bay Area. You can check it out at bayareascience.org.
Cool. Will?
I do a podcast called Sunday Evening with Captain Owen. It's a podcast I do with my son, who's 2.5 years old. You can find us at captainowen.billythebrick.com or on Twitter at CaptainOwenJ. And I'm on Twitter at BillyTheBrick.
Awesome. And I'm Preston. You can find me on Twitter at NoCashValue80. And then I host a podcast on the Geek Dad Podcast Network called Game Room Junkies. It's a podcast about arcade games, pinball machines, collecting, restoring, and having fun with your kids in the game room. So check that out at GameRoomJunkies.com or download us on iTunes. Guys, thanks for sitting in with us and having a great time at DragonCon.
I think I'll be back.
I hope so. All right, take it easy. Geek Dad. Geek Dad. Geek Dad. Geek Dad. Geek Dad.